Well, we're turning to Leviticus chapter, chapter 26. Do you want to just put the first slide up for me? I've just entitled this The Promise. As you know, we're just started a series last week, Created to be Fruitful. This is what God wants from all of us. And no matter who we are, what's happened to us. So not only was this God's first command in Genesis chapter 1 to mankind to be fruitful, but it is also his first promise. So a command and a promise. Command to be fruitful and a promise that he would make us fruitful. And we saw this last week in Genesis chapter 1, that fruitfulness begins with God. God himself is a very fruitful God. Good things grow from God and proceed from God. He made us in his image, and we are also meant to be fruitful, and we're meant to increase. And so this original mandate, if you want to put it like this, runs deep and has to do with the building of families. Nice to see children with us today, and many of them are in the back, of course. The building of families, growing of crops, the organization of society, development of culture and civilization, and all those things that we often take for granted. We may even assume they're nothing to do with our faith, but they're a huge part of our faith. And this is a reflection upon God's image, which is a creative image. And we come across people who are so creative. You know, we're envious of them. They can think deeply about things. And this is a reflection of God's image, whose goal is the setting up. His ultimate goal is the setting up of a kingdom here upon the earth, which, of course, is what the New Testament is all about. But God's original intended design for humanity finds its fulfillment in the power of the gospel, bearing fruit in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. And that's why we share the gospel with everyone we can. The promise of fruitfulness throughout Genesis, you read it through there, it's very evident. It continues into the book of Exodus, and it shows itself there with incredible growth in numbers and of the Hebrews in Egypt. In fact, you may remember that was what got them in trouble. The Egyptians were looking around and said, look how many they are. There's more of them than there are of us. They're just going to take over our country. And it was because God made them so productive in that way that they got into trouble. And then as time rolls on, God's promises are linked with people's obedience in the promised land. And what is the promised land? It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It is a productive land. Why it's so productive? And so it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and these fruitful people are going to live in a fruitful land. One of the commentators that I read about this passage put it like this. He said, a fruitful land and fruitful loins are combined in this chapter, Leviticus chapter 26. It's all about fruitfulness. It's such a perfect passage to think about this morning in our series about being fruitful, about harvest time. And so what we've really been talking about here are fruitful promises. He wants us to be a fruitful people. And if we fall short, we just get up and we claim his promise and we try and be obedient. And so we see them in nature, these promises. It's like all of nature around us is an example of how fruitful we could be. And so we see these bountiful promises in the amazing resources around us. Our shops are full and overflowing, are they not? I know if you live in the area here, we've got a Tesco, we've got an Aldi, and now we've got a Little. Hey, more to choose from, better competition. Is this not a part of our Christianity as well? Is this not a part of our faith? The growth, are we not grateful for the provision that God has bestowed upon us? And if someone were to miraculously appear from 300 years ago right into our culture right now, and he were to walk into one of our departmental stores, I mean, the ones that are threatening to close down in the main street, if they're going to, they would think they have died and gone to heaven. There's everything there. You know, they couldn't even think or imagine the stuff that is we can buy now. It's, you know, it's possible to buy all those things. And our reading listed these fruitful promises through nature. Let me just mention some of these here. This is, I think, very powerful. Verse 4, God says, I will send you rain in season. Really? We would think, we had enough yesterday. I know we had a dry month for the summer, but not again. Not again. Isn't that true? What did the pastor say? What did Ingrid say earlier on about next Sunday? Please pray for a sunny day. You know, not rain again. You know, that's just us, though, isn't it? You know, but you go back to an agricultural society of their day, it was like pure gold. That it would rain and their harvest would grow and it would yield 30, 60, 100 times as much as they had planted. This is wonderful. God had promised them this. And they didn't have United Utilities, did they, Mark? Mark works for United Utilities. You know, I was thinking about this water. You know, we make fun. No, it's not raining again. Isn't this weather awful? But we go into our homes, we go and we turn on the tap in the bath, and we can have a hot soak. We turn on the shower. We're going to have a lovely, relaxing shower every morning. We can flush the toilet. We don't need to go anywhere else. It's there. It's so handy. We can just turn on the tap and let it run till it's nice and cold and have a nice, refreshing drink. We can fill up the kettle. We just take it for granted. They used to have to go to a well to get that. In various parts of Kenya, some people have to walk 2 miles there to get it and 2 miles back again, and then they've got to do that every day, and we just turn it on and turn it off. Thanks, Mark. Verse 6, I will grant peace in the land. If we secretly make a joke about the rain, we certainly don't make any joke about the peace, let me tell you. Especially today, it sounds so precious and so valuable to us, our peace. Peace in our world and peace in our land. And following two world conflicts, and by the way, Ingrid and I and my parents all went to the War Museum yesterday where they had those lovely poppies, you know, and it was just a wonderful sight. But you go through and you're reminded of the fact that in two world wars, 80 million people perished, 80 million in an 8-year period. And there's been so many wars since. The significance of peace in our time is more valuable than ever before. I will grant peace in the land. How precious that was. And if we enter another global war, you can be sure it most probably will include nuclear weapons. And I'm afraid to say that everything changes. Everything changes in a world war like that. Everyone loses. Everyone.